listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Fernandez, who scored from the penalty spot for Manchester United against Club Brugge in the round of 32. This to put them in front in the quarter-final. It's Fernandez who scores.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. A huge thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They are the presenting sponsors of this show. If you get in an accident, it could be a car, boat, motorcycle, nobody wants you to, but if you do, you need representation. It's the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual, and the Daspit Law Firm is going to bring you a personalized approach. They'll work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. And like I always say on this show, if not for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, we're not on the air. So a big thank you to our presenting sponsor. And of course, they're bilingual. So is my next guest, but we're not going to do this in Spanish from my end of things to spare you all. We're joined now by Houston Dynamo defender, Zerick Valentin. Zerick, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, let's just get right into just now that you got back, you processed the bubble. You know, explain a little bit to the people out there listening when they hear the word bubble. What did that all really mean down in Orlando?
Okay, so basically the bubble was two hotels that made up 24, I guess, if we're not going to count Dallas and Nashville, 24 MLS teams. And the bubble was essentially these two hotels on the same lot. We had access to two pools, and there was a soccer pool. There was just some little mini, actually three pools, sorry about that. There was some mini games that we could play. And ultimately, the teams were separated into two hotels, meal rooms, all separate. But the bubble meaning we could not leave our little compound. There was roads separating it, so we could, you saw a lot of coaches doing runnings on some of the paths, but the paths never left our two hotels. So that was ultimately the bubble, and then we take buses directly from there to the training facility, and we have to walk with masks. We were, all the fields were separated by barriers, and then we get straight back on the buses and drive back. So that was our two quote-unquote bubbles that we had to take part in Orlando.
How structured, I imagine your days were pretty structured, but how structured were your days? And then how did Todd Ramos and his staff maybe say, hey, I need to lay off the guys, and how much time might you get in a position like that? Because I know the games are coming thick and heavy.
Of course. I think that the staff handled everything very well. There was about 4 hours in the afternoon between once we'd get back at 1 o'clock from training. We'd finish training around one, or finish lunch around 1:30. And then from about 2 till 7, we would have treatments. And then that would be kind of our downtime. Every once in a while, we would have testing thrown in there. We did testing every other day. We had to do testing before games to assure that we were fine. And once Dallas and Nashville got out of there, in which they brought COVID into the bubble from their markets previously, it couldn't have gone much smoother. Yes, it's a little bit annoying that we had to get up at 7 o'clock to go do testing, but ultimately we were done the rest of the day. And we didn't, you know, guys could go back and take a nap after training, which is a little soccer siesta, as we call it. And ultimately the staff and Caesar and Matt and the club were really organized down there, and we're made easy for us to just focus on playing.
Talking to Zerick Valentin of the Houston Dynamo, the right back acquired from the Portland Timbers. Now, you know, if I look at what's going on, one of my first gut feelings is teams and individuals that deal with these sudden changes and all these inconveniences and differences in their training regimes maybe are going to be the ones that have the advantage. Is that fair to say?
Definitely. I think the quicker people can adapt to the changes and what's going on, probably the better those teams will be. And I was talking to one of my buddies on the Timbers, and to give a little bit of insight into that thought process and how they handled their situation, the past 2 years, they've had to open up with games on the road because of new construction. So 2 seasons ago in 2018, we started with 5 games on the road. In 2019, they started with 12 games on the road. So ultimately, that team is very used to being in a hotel, being pretty low-key, having to make do. So the whole quote-unquote bubble that we were in was something that was so normal for that team. So they might have had a little bit of an advantage in that sense because that was all they've known for the past 2 years. because they were forced into that for the stadium construction. And yeah, definitely there's some aspects of it where you want to try to settle in as quick as possible. But ultimately, once the ball gets out there, then you got to make plays, and that kind of kicks in. And once you step in those lines, that's when you revert back to your normal tendencies. And that's what we love doing. And that's why we're willing to put up with some of these interesting, unprecedented times, because that's what we love. And we're willing to do whatever to get back to our normal.
Do you realize this one day will be looked at as a real defining crazy moment in the history of Major League Soccer 15, 20 years from now?
100%. I bet you Don, when he came into year 25, didn't think it would go this way. But ultimately, I think that there's going to be a lot of positives because the league has to adapt. The league is adapting. Players are adapting. And I think that you're going to see some positive things come from that. And personally, one of the most impressive and positive takeaways has been VAR. As much as I cannot stand it for that, in my opinion, a very bad PK call against LA Galaxy. I think if you call that, you can call one every single corner kick. But regardless, the communication between the guy in the booth and the referee on the field is fantastic to see, because you get to see the different angles. You get to see them talk through a situation. You get to see exactly their thought processes and what they see. And then there's no middle ground. So the fan that's watching from the stands, or not from the stands, from home, immediately gets to see it. And then you can go back and watch the broadcast and hear the referee speak through that entire process. And for me, that's been one of the most positive things to take away from MLS.
No, I think it's powerful. I think it takes a lot of, what if or nebulous areas out of the whole thing to just hear the two guys communicate.
Of course.
Do you have any indication that that's going to continue on?
I don't know yet. I do think that from all the positive press they're getting about it, I'd be really hard pressed to think they wouldn't do it, because usually people crush VAR because of the length of time and the unknown aspect of it. But this clears all that up. And as long as the referees they're doing the job to the best of their abilities, and they make mistakes, but ultimately you can go back and see the thought process, and then they'll get better from that as well. And I think it also gives the viewers a totally different, a different aspect, and to see and to hear what the thought process of the referee is, which a lot of times we don't even get on the field because it's really difficult. And a lot of those moments are quick. I am not a huge fan of the in-game coaching ones. I think that's a little bit interesting. That's maybe call me old school, but I think the VAR one is one that hopefully will stick.
Yeah. I love it too. I agree with you 100% on all fronts with the VAR. And I think it leads to just making things clearer to everybody. And at least, you all know what their thought process was at the end of the day with it. It's Eric Valentin, Houston Dynamo defender, joining us. Okay, you get back to Houston. What were the first 2 days back like, and getting back to your family, a newborn, all kinds of interesting things going on in your life?
Yeah, definitely. For me, it was great to be back. My wife basically lateraled our 10-month-old like a rugby football and took a seat on the couch for about 2 days. So she said, listen, you got
to come up in this interview.
100%.
Good lateral.
Yeah, no, it was illegal. It was backwards, so we're good. So as a dad, you have to know, and I know all my teammates know, that once we got back in there, we were able to sleep through the night. We were able to take naps. We had all of that. So you might as well rest it up, because we had a few days off, and I was on duty for essentially a few days straight. Thankfully, Cam was sleeping through the night, but naps, diapers, every dirty diaper, coming towards dad. Yeah. Mom got to rest on the couch for a bit. And I think that there was definitely a few days, though, where it was nice to be back with family. But it felt bittersweet because of the way we exited the tournament. And I think that the team took a lot of positive steps in different games. I think that, we can look back and be very critical as a defender to have two leads in two games and to not come away with 3 points. I can be very critical about that, and I always will, because I try to hold myself and the team to a standard. We should close those games out. Obviously, some things aren't completely in our control, but ultimately, we took some positive steps. But it's to a 90th minute PK is never going to feel good, even if it is warranted. It's never going to be a fun way to go out, and it's going to be tough. But ultimately, we know that there will be games, which is exciting. And when we get to those points, first one against Dallas. I mean, I hate Dallas. I will say that openly. I've said that since day one. It's the Philadelphia Eagle in me is where it comes from. But it helps me fit in here, but that gives us some more motivation going into that first game.
All right, so let me talk about that last 45 minutes. So we're not going to dwell on it, but
watching
it at home, you guys took a lot of pressure from the Galaxy. Mm. At the end of the day, one of the things you would have said to yourself was, how could we have, at least for moments, changed the level of pressure, flipped it on them, held the ball maybe a little bit longer? Are these things you're talking about? And you know, how truthful is what I'm saying when it comes to that second 45 minutes?
You're spot on. I think that teams, and I've been on multiple different teams, and one of the first things that you'll say is, it felt as if we got into a shell too early. And I think of a boxer. Once you get into the corner, it felt like we put our hands up and we're just trying to ride out until the end of the game. And I think we made some good subs. I thought Ronaldo came on for Mauro and did very well. And I don't think he necessarily thought, you know, with Christian, it was difficult in his quarantine period and stuff like that. I thought Ronaldo came on and did very well. I think ultimately the thing that we could have done better is been a little bit braver on the ball. I think we tried a few times and it didn't necessarily work out because they were pressuring pretty high. And we just reverted to sitting back into a shell and hoping to maybe catch them on the break. And it's very difficult for any team to defend that deep against good teams and good players for 45 minutes. And you saw that against LAFC with us. And you see, I mean, at most teams against LAFC, but it's very difficult for us to do that. So I think we do need to be a bit braver in possession when it comes to those times. And I think a lot of that comes with trying to recruit. Obviously, if you're more fit, then you're fresher and then you're allowed to play. I think a lot of times when players get tired, their mind starts to slow down. A lot of times building out of the back and playing, you have to think a few steps ahead. And if you can't get there in your brain, then your body won't necessarily know exactly what moves to make. So then as a defender, you might just resort to playing it in the channels. And Albert and Nico or whoever, whoever's up top can only run those balls down so much. And I think that you're spot on with a lot of what you're saying. That's definitely something that staff and us look about. It's something we speak about internally because no one wants to defend for 45 minutes. That's not fun. That's not why we play the game. You want to play on the front foot. And, you know, we were trying to get a result, but I think if we managed the ball a little bit, we could have rested on the ball, which would have given us more energy to step to players a little bit quicker.
We're talking to Zarek Valentin, Dynamo defender. Great conversation here, and appreciate him coming on the show tonight. If I asked you to describe to the fan base the playing style of the team, now it may still be evolving because it's a new coach, Tab's getting used to it, his staff is getting, how would you describe it to the fans?
How would I describe it? I think that one of the first things people see from us is we try to take advantage of moments when we can step and put the other team under pressure. It's difficult when you get tired to do that because when you want to press a team and one player arrives late or reacts late, a team can play out of that. And for example, we had very good moments against, I would say, first half against LAFC. I thought we did it well. And then obviously as you get tired, players don't get as close to their marks and then they're allowed to play out of pressure. And I think, for example, a bad example would be our away at Kansas City. A lot of times one or two or three guys might go and the fourth would be late and Kansas City would play through us and then they'd switch it and then we're running and tracking and then we're a little bit all over the place. I think we got better at that as a team, but ultimately it was difficult for a lot of teams in MLS's back to try to play on much of front foot because they were elevated preseason games almost because we had not played anybody. So there wasn't that normal sharpness that some of these games have because we had to go through that period where you're kind of learning on the fly and getting back into it. So obviously we want to be a team that tries to press high and at certain moments, but also we want to play free. We have a lot of guys who can do some very fun, incredible things. Albert showed his worth in the first game. Darwin shows how special he was. His free kick was really good. Obviously we have Mauro who has a history of scoring. So we want to be a team that also plays free at that point in time. And I think that's something we're still working on. We do have new pieces and we haven't done it as well as I think we can at times. And I think everyone would say that ultimately, because if we look at the lineup, Marco's new to that picture. Victor was new. I was new. Darwin was new. Nico Hansen came in last year. So we had some new pieces that we're trying to still get some of those relationships, but we still want to be a team that plays free and creates chances and has fun doing so.
Yeah, not to mention that last year the team really was a counterattacking team. So mm-hmm. I mean, when you think that 11 brains have to be on the same page instantaneously in those 2 seconds when the ball turns over, and as you say, if two guys don't, you know, the whole thing breaks down. So it is a very drilled, organized thing. All right, so what are you guys been working on in training since you got back?
I think a little bit was to kind of take a few days off because we went very hard in Orlando. We worked up a full preseason like most teams, and then we had three games in 14 days, I think, or something like that. So they came pretty quickly. And then obviously we want to come back and lower the load a little bit. But I think ultimately we want to self-reflect on our time in Orlando and figure out what we can do better. And I think at times our decision-making on the ball, from myself included to everybody, can be better. And I think the more comfortable we can be being uncomfortable on the pitch, the better we will be. And a lot of times teams will come and press, and whether they press well or not, the more comfortable you can be with that press, the better we're going to be. And that's something we've definitely worked on, because we'd rather have the ball than not have the ball. We want to rest on the ball, not rest in a low block defensively. That's not fun. So I think that's something that we're trying to improve, and everyone from myself to the goalies to the center forwards can all improve on that. And ultimately just keep getting those connections better, because like I said, there's still a few players who only played five games. Tab's only been in charge for five games, and we're still trying to work on those concepts. And I think we took steps forward in Orlando. We didn't get a win, even though we should have. I think even if it was ugly, I think we still could have gotten one against the Galaxy, and we should have played better in the second half against LAFC, and the Timbers game got away from us a bit. But I think we're taking steps in the right direction, which gives us a lot of excitement going into phase one of MLS's back again, or whatever they might call it.
I don't know. I don't know yet. I know it's phase one, though. It's Eric Valentin joining us here. Yeah, so you got to be pumped now. I mean, you're going to get to play some games in BBVA. I know you've been back in there for some practice games. First game's FC Dallas, it's your rival. Six games, you're going to play them twice, Sporting twice, Colorado and Minnesota, if I'm correct here. But the games are again going to come very quick and heavy. So I'm assuming there will be a pretty extended roster that may be needed for this time period.
Of course. And that's what they've been focusing on recently with all this going on, is everyone needs to be ready from player one to 22. We need to use everybody. And they're not easy games. If you look at the teams that we are playing, Minnesota has shown how good they can be. Kansas City is a good team as well, which we know that. Colorado started off the season 2-0. And then obviously, you know, in MLS is back, it's interesting because certain teams can come and fit. And a lot of times individual moments of brilliance in those first few games really were the changing point, or just individual mistakes. Those were kind of how the games were separated. And then Dallas is a rival, and those games are always extremely difficult. So we do not have a quote-unquote easy first six games, but ultimately those are the fun ones. We want to play good teams. We want to continue to challenge ourselves. And we had difficult games in Orlando, which was great. And I think that we showed that we could play with any team in this league. And it's exciting to get back in there. And we're going to need everyone from the 35, 36-year-old Boney and Minor to the 16-year-old Juan that we probably just signed. And it's going to be exciting to see some of these younger guys get out there and play some competitive matches and show what they can to myself and the coaches and have a lot of fun doing so.
Two quick questions before we let you go. How about the young guys? Have they added a freshness to training? Have they stepped right in there and kind of gone with the flow of everything? Or are they still feeling their way around a bit?
They're very respectful. They haven't filled up my water bottle as much as I'd like, but we'll get there, though. But these are good players.
Bring me my shoes.
Excuse me?
Bring me my shoes.
Exactly. No, you have to ease them into it a bit. They're very respectful. They're very curious, which is great. And they're good players. They pass the eye test, is what I say. When you watch them play, you can say, they got something. And they're young enough. I mean, I was talking to Juan. I turned 29 and he's 16. To think that I'm 13 years older than him is wild to me. Yeah. So for me, it's impressive to see that. And I was playing next to Ian today. And Ian was he's 18 years old, I believe, as well. Then Marcelo was on one of the – in the midfield. So he's – 20, Nico Lemoyne, or Marcelo's 19, Nico's 20 on the pitch as well. And then Juan and Rios come in, and these guys are 16, 17 years old. It's exciting to see. And they have a lot of potential. There's going to be some ups and downs. They're going to make mistakes. But I always tell the young guys that I don't care if you make mistakes. And guess what? You're going to make them. And you're going to make a lot. But just make sure you react to those mistakes in the best way possible and try to win the ball back. Then you'll be great from there.
Yeah, and Zarek's talking about Ian Hoffman, who was just signed and actually was brought in with the under-17 German national team before going with the U.S. under-20 team in Germany. There's a lot of high marks in and around his play. All right, last one before I let you go. We got a great Champions League, eight teams left.
Oh, don't make me pick.
Yeah, Atalanta, PSG, Leipzig, Atletico, Barca, Bayern, Manchester City, and Lyon. So there's two teams there that have won it. We may have a new winner finally, and those two teams are squaring off, Barca and Bayern. Who are you picking to win the Champions League? You got to pick?
To be complete, I don't want to say Bayern because I feel like that's a cop out. I don't want to go that normal route. Okay. So if we're gonna go, I don't think Man City will do as well as people think. I think they will get through the round. I'd love to see someone completely different. Yeah. Love to see Red Bull or Atalanta. You know what I mean? I enjoy when not the normal teams and these underdogs. That's why the EPL has been so fun to watch when you see Wolves doing well and Leicester's in third place. And you see all these big clubs losing and the shuffling. It's fantastic. So I hope that there's a little bit of a wrinkle thrown in there. Hopefully it's not Barcelona or Bayern Munich getting to the final again. It's exciting though. And I'm extremely, extremely excited personally because Fulham just got promoted. So that's another one. I'm excited about that. Yep, exactly. So hopefully we see a wrinkle thrown into the last four of the Champions League after this next round. I'd be excited about that.
I like your call on Atalanta because they play a great game. But the other thing I think with them is they may not have the depth of some of those more powerful teams, you know, the Barces or maybe in this case the Bayerns and the Cities. But since it's single elimination, I think that's a nice little advantage and bonus point for them. And
I must say that we play the only sport where – I genuinely believe that any team on any day can beat somebody. I don't – maybe hockey might be like that, but typically in basketball, if you have a one-off and one team's really stacked and the other team isn't, they will pretty much take care of it. I'm thinking football too. But soccer or football, whatever you want to say, has shown over the years that you just need one really good game. And any team can beat anybody tactically. You can have individual moments of brilliance. And I think you see a lot more upsets in that because of the way our game is played compared to other sports. And that's the best part, though. When these single elimination games happen, anything can happen. I look back to when Salt Lake went into LAFC and beat them in the playoffs. And you're thinking, that's not going to happen. And then it was a massive upset. And it was fantastic. And I just don't think that happens in many other sports, which is what makes ours so unique and so fun to watch.
No better way to end the interview than that. That's a great sermon right there, delivered by the Reverend Zarek Valentin.
Oh, stop.
Zarek, best of luck against FC Dallas. I'm sure I'm going to talk to you before then. Thank you very much for coming on the show tonight. Great insight from the bubble, from training, from everything. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. That's Zarek Valentin, Dynamo right back. That interview brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Also, Lustav Vermouth. Get a little Spain in your life. Lustav Vermouth is great in a gin and tonic with an orange peel, with a little tonic water, club soda. Same thing. You cut a little orange peel in there. You break it. You get that essence in there. It's refreshing, especially in a hot Houston, Texas. Also, Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Big home of the Houston Liverpool Supporters Club, who are big supporters of this show. And we appreciate everybody over at Hugh O'Connor's. We'll take a break. We got more to come. Let me tell you, pretty baby.
Oh, I gotta set you straight. This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.